Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name's Nancy. I host the show. Tonight, I have a great guest. This is going to be really entertaining. I'm sure everybody is going to enjoy it as much as I do. So I'm going to bring her on right away. So, Victoria, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy. It's great to be with you.
So how are you doing, my dear?
Oh, I'm fabulous over here in this wonderful southwestern part of Colorado in a place called Pagosa Springs.
Yeah, I'm going to come visit you yet. You'll see.
Well, I invite everybody to come to this little heaven on earth. We have a great place here, and the energy is wonderful, and it's like another dimension over here.
But that's what we're going to be talking about now, Victoria, all the different dimensions that are going on, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely rocking and rolling these days, aren't we?
Yes, we are. So, Victoria, do me a favor and explain a little bit about who Victoria is to our listeners, and then I'm going to ask you some questions, okay?
All righty. Well, I guess I would just start with that I've been a contactee, not an abductee, but a contactee since I was a child, and I've always been pretty awake with hope to the universe and having visions and telepathic messages and seeing future events since I was a child, and I've been blessed with a pretty good accuracy. I had my first encounter with an angel when I was 5, and then in 1994 I started capturing other dimensions on film and proceeded to it started with 35mm cameras, and then I graduated to movie cameras, and then of course later on digital cameras came in, but I've had a phenomenal journey. I feel very blessed because I feel that the universe and all of our families on the other planets are really my family, and my desire on this earth is to connect with all of those people out there that feel like I do, that feel very connected with the universe and know that there's something bigger out there, and to unite with each other so that we can support and love each other and help each other on this journey.
Which I think is really important right now, Victoria, because a lot of people seem to be kind of lost, kind of mixed up, and definitely living in the fear and worry mode.
Definitely, and I think I've been straddling the world for so long, Nancy, like yourself. I know you and I have so much in common, and when we met we felt so connected, and I do understand this straddling, and I really believe that what's happening for humanity now is that these other dimensions are bleeding in and out, and so that's why sometimes we don't feel like we're in our body, or we put something down and come back and it's not there, and then we walk around for a half hour and then we come back and there it is. So the dimensions are very fluid, and I believe that more people are waking up, but I think that some people are just sort of, they might not understand that the crazy way they're feeling is a positive thing, but I believe that the more we are experiencing these things, it's a sign, it's an indication, it's a clue that we are very close to some great and glorious events some which I have seen in visions.
Mm-hmm. Now, the first time that you saw a UFO or any kind of anything out of the ordinary, how did you feel about that?
I was not afraid, probably because my father had already had experiences in 1947, and he had been talking to me about the other dimensions and the contact that he had, and so I was sort of prepped. So I was never afraid. I always felt like they were my family.
Mm-hmm. See, because I think, really, Victoria, a lot of people really do get to see UFOs or whatever they might want to call them, but I don't think that their eye has been trained to really know that that's what that might be. Do you find that might be true?
Exactly. When you're outside, you're looking into the night skies, perhaps, and you think that, oh, it's most likely it's a star, but how can it be so bright and so big, and I see all the colors moving, and then you put the binoculars on it, and then you put your video camera on it, and you realize that there's a lot more going on, and it's definitely not a planet or a star. And so I think people are seeing them all the time, but when they go out with me, like I take groups out, people come over here to do some healing retreats with me, and we'll go out for a sky watch. And it's just really, it's exciting because then when they're looking through my camera, they realize that they've been seeing ships their whole life. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that I've been able to discover is that I know where the motherships lie stretched across the sky. They are above where you might see a spinning orb that's doing the color changing rotation activity. But when I film above that, and then on when I'm going through my editing process, I go backwards on a millisecond, pause to pause to pause, and it takes a few minutes, but I can get it to stop on the right millisecond pause, because there's 24 frames in 1 second pause on a camera. And there you can see all the blinking lights going across the sky, and you realize that the ships are everywhere, but they're cloaked. And mm-hmm. the only way that we can capture this is by, you know, going backwards in time. I think I'm one of the very few people that have been able to capture this on film. But people can actually see an example of this if they go to my website, and on the home page of victoriaslight.com, that's LIGHT.com, they can click on the YouTube videos, and if they go to the Amazing Journey on film video, they will see exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I saw your film that you won an award for, and I thought it was fabulous, because most people, you know, when they say, well, I have this and I have that, and then you take a look at their work, you find that that's not really quite what they have, but you did a fabulous, fabulous job. Now, how long did it take you to make that film? And then please give out the name of the film and tell the people who are listening how they can get it.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll just give you the name. It's Encounters with Angels, UFOs, and Divine Messages. And it's available on my website. This film was a labor of love. It was a collection of all of my encounters that I have hundreds of hours of film footage. And they're all like my children, but I did one version for the Hollywood Film Festival where we won an award, and then I did another version for the New York Festival where we won an award. And so it's a compilation of the best up to 2005. Now, I have a lot more new material, but I have not produced a new film. But what I had been doing is just, you know, filming and doing some TV shows and different interviews. And so I had a dream one night, and I was on the ship with all of these children, and they were sitting in what seemed like a theater, and they begged me. They said, Victoria, please put your other desires and projects on hold, because I am in the healing arts, and I'm also a recording artist, and they said, please put those on hold, because you have to release your film footage. You can't wait any longer because humanity needs it. So the next day, I wrote an email to all of my people on my list and said, well, I'm releasing my film in exactly 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, working 24 hours around the clock with my friend and his studio there when I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, we put it the first version together, and pretty amazing. But I already had the material and the whole goal. I did not think that it would go to Hollywood or New York. That wasn't my intention at all. It was a gift to help gently begin to open up humanity to realize that we're not alone and see beyond this reality and perhaps remember some of the feelings and thoughts that people kind of shut down because, you know, their parents don't accept them or people judge them. And so they've kind of forced themselves to forget. And when they see this film, it just helps them validate really how they feel in their heart or what they've always pondered. And mm-hmm. So it was a labor of love. And I did all the music. I channeled all my music, and I did all the filming. And I sat right there with the editing, and we created a gift for humanity.
And it is quite a gift. On your film, you have filmed actually different types of ships. Can you tell about those ships and what makes them different from each other?
Okay, well, I capture a lot of holographic orbs, which they're not just the orbs that you see when you take a family photo and you see these orbs flying all over the room. These are very large orbs traveling across the sky, and they are some kind of transporter. I believe that they possibly could be one specific intelligence, not necessarily a whole bunch of people traveling on that. Those particular vehicles, I also believe, could be projected from, say, a mothership, you know, a larger craft. Then I get the saucers, but we must keep in mind that 80% of the saucers that we see can be governmental because they have been working with all this technology for a long time. So sometimes when you see some saucers, you know, you're not sure. Then I will get cigar-shaped crafts on film, and I call the light ships Merkaba vehicles. Now, Merkaba, or Merkaba, you know, it's kind of like tomato, tomato. Mm-hmm. But in Dr. J.J. Hertek's book, The Keys of Enoch, he speaks of the Merkaba vehicle, and that is a transporter to take us back and forth between the worlds. So I call a lot of my vehicles Merkaba vehicles. I have one particular piece of footage that is magnificent at the end of the film, and it's actually, I realize now, it is really the Chariot of Ezekiel. It's a 10-prong spinning Merkaba vehicle that, in slow motion, when we pause it to, you know, every second, it shows over 400 pictographic images coming, transmitting, and revealing themselves right from the live footage. And you can see people moving within some of these pictographs. You see messages, and there's actual codings that are being transmitted through the third eye of the viewer of the film. Now, recently, in the last couple of years, the diamond ships have started appearing to me. And they started in Italy, and then when I moved to Pagosa, that's what is showing up now. And they are a perfect diamond. with cellular energy in them, and they're very large. They would show. They show up every night outside the house that I rent in Pagosa. So there's many different types, and we all have the ability, if we tune in and pay attention and listen and sort of let go of our fears and whatever might be holding us back from our transformational process, we all have our own Merkaba vehicle, and we just have to be able to learn to focus on that. I learned to focus, actually think about it, and I could manifest it on film merely by just thinking about it.
Which is kind of cool. Now, the other thing I want to ask you about, for the Olympics, I forgot what year that was, but you had a prediction that there was going to be a sighting. And
yes.
People, you know, and it's on your movie, and it shows how people tend to razz you somewhat about that. But it didn't stop you, and it didn't change your mind. So kind of, you know, tell the listeners a little bit about what that vision was and how it actually came to be.
Well, when I was 13 years old, I had a vision, and I saw a cigar-shaped craft. I saw the Olympics. I saw these trams, like the Eurorail trams, and then I saw Salt Lake City. And I thought, this is interesting, and I knew it was sort of in the future. And then when Salt Lake City was nominated, well, when they were up for nomination to do the Olympics there, I knew they would get it. I just knew, and that was, and the Olympics took place in 2002 in Salt Lake. So I just happened to tell one friend, hey, you know, I think I'm going to go up there and be there and film it, because I know that this event's going to happen. And they leaked it to an internet newspaper, and within 2 days, I had all of these phone calls coming in, and I did over 60 radio interviews and many television interviews in a 2-week period. So, but all the calls came in, and so I went ahead and went up to Salt Lake. And the television people interviewed me, and, well, the ones in Phoenix weren't very nice. They were pretty, you know, just kind of didn't take it serious at all. But the fellow in Salt Lake City, Rod Decker, he did a great job, and he was pretty complimentary. And so he interviewed me before, and then they interviewed me after the effect. So it did happen exactly the way I said it would, and to the day and the time. Originally, I said it was February 21st, between like 12 and 5, kind of like the cable guy. He'll come between 12 and 5, and then I got it a little clearer, and I knew it was going to be, you know, between, you know, a little closer to like 2. Well, the first one came at 2:30, and then the second one came at 2:45, and so that was very exciting. And of course, when I got home back to Phoenix, I had 1,000 emails from people. I mean, they were really mean, and they said, "Oh, you're crazy." And of course, they never got to see the footage that happened and everything that transpired, and so when I put this film together, I included this just to kind of exonerate me, I guess you would say, that it did happen, and The world's come a long way, Nancy, because now when I did Coast to Coast Radio a couple of years ago, I got 1,800 emails, and all of them were nice except for about 10. So
that's much better odds.
Yeah, so people are coming along, but you know, it does take courage, but it's okay. I'm pretty tough.
Yeah, but you're really good out there. The other thing I want to compliment you on is your beautiful voice. Now, because, you know, I have your CDs, and they're absolutely beautiful. But when I was in New Mexico, where I live, and you came there and you did your presentation, I had my granddaughter with me. And one of the things my granddaughter says when she heard your voice is, she has a beautiful voice. And she had to go up and tell you that, which I thought was really, really cute.
Yeah.
But you do have a very, very beautiful voice. But you actually sing The Ship's Inn. Is that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh. I go out, when I go out, whether I'm alone or with other people, I always sing. And the ships seem to love the frequency and the tones and the, I mean, I don't just go in tone, but I've written a lot of I don't even write them down. They're channeled. I write down what I hear in my ear. But I do sing The Ship's Inn, and they always seem to come. But I was invited to create a CD that has my tones in chords because they have perfect pitch, and that the ships really love it when we go out and tone as a group. And then I have another CD that's, you know, for healing the subconscious mind. But music and sound, vibration and light, all of those things are connected with contact.
Yeah, but they're also connected with people in general, because it is very, very pretty, and it makes, you know, it just makes people feel good. One of the other things that you had done is when you did, like, that little gathering before you showed your video, you were at one of the other friends' house. Her name is Barbara Besser. And after you got done, you know, talking and showing people, you know, the film clip, you did another little thing that I'd like you to explain to people, where you blew into us, but it wasn't a blow. It was a different kind of sound that you make with your throat.
Well, I'm not sure. It all comes out of my mouth, whatever that is. But people call me a Tibetan bull. I'm like a human Tibetan bull. But I did go around and I blew a tone into, like, the heart chakra of each person, just to balance and energize and to assist in opening up their heart. But it does not sound human.
No.
And I can't tell you why. but it's very healing, and I use it a lot in my healing work. Like when somebody's on the table, I'll blow into their knee that's had arthritis for years or a football injury, and the pain leaves the body. I mean, it's pretty, I really don't take credit for anything. I think it's just all the universe comes through me, and I'm really blessed to know how to anchor and facilitate it, I guess. But yeah, that's kind of fun.
I don't know if you can or not, Victoria, but might as well ask, can you do a blow tone in, like, during our interview so that people have an idea what we're talking about? Maybe a tone that would hit their heart chakra for all that are listening?
Sure. I have kind of a little tickle in my throat today because I'm taking care of a place with a cat, and I love kitties, but it has a lot of hair, so I'm kind of been tickling here. So what I'd like to ask the listeners to do is to just go inside right now, close your eyes, and just relax, breathe in an opportunity to receive this gift through my channel, and to put in your third eye what you would like to manifest, not only for yourself, but for this planet, for the people in your lives, and for the universe, and for our journey, this great initiation that we are in the process of creating. And so I place the sacred tone now to put it out into the universe and out over the radio airwaves. And I'm going to do three tones. Okay, now everybody, just breathe in that energy. And every time you see water, you hear water, you taste water, you shall experience healing within and without. For the sign of the water is the sign of the spirit. And the spirit of the universe dwells within you. And so it is.
So it is. That's great. You know, people who are listening probably go, how did she do that? And, well, because it's just so different, you know, because you really do sound like something that is not human. But, you know, and I stood there and I watched you, so I know how human it was. The other thing, Victoria, you talk about our body being transformed. And a lot of people are going through transformations, but I don't think that they know what their feelings are when this is happening. So can you maybe explain, you know, that to our listeners so that when they, you know, they start to shiver inside but they're not shaking outside, you know, the different, you know, parts of the transformation might be?
Certainly. This is definitely a process that's been happening to many people for quite some time, but it's getting more intense now, and some people are a little frightened by it, and so some of the symptoms are this. Okay, when, I don't know if anybody used to roller skate, when you'd be roller skating and then you take the skates off, but you still felt, I mean, your feet felt strange. It's like you couldn't jump. Your body felt different. Or when you've been riding in a car. And then when you got home, your body was still vibrating. But yet, you weren't in motion. And what's happening is that our frequencies are changing. So we are vibrating sometimes. Just when we're getting ready to go to sleep and go out of our body, we might start to vibrate a little bit. But like for yourself, Nancy, and for myself, we were, you know, kind of comparing notes. And now we're vibrating all the time. I mean, it's almost just like a constant. It's like having 100 cups of coffee. And if somebody grabs your arm, they can actually feel the vibration moving in your arm. I mean, they just feel this vibration. That's all you can say. Now, the other thing is changing of the appetites. A lot of foods don't taste like they used to. Things that just used to make us happy just kind of don't do much for us. I mean, we're changing. We are shape-shifting. Our bodies are changing. We're also kind of morphing, I believe. We will get strange body pains, maybe like a shooting pain that'll come flying through your pancreas, and then a few minutes later it'll be in your liver, and then it'll be in your knee, and then it'll go feel like a bolt of light going right through your head. And a lot of this is, of course, the electromagnetics that's changing, as well as, I think, our bodies. And we have to be able to turn into more of a light being to be able to withstand the transformation that this Earth is going through, which I'd kind of like to talk about this second Earth right now, mm-hmm. if that would be okay.
That'd be great.
When I, in 1997, I had three visions, and I saw, in the first vision, I saw our Earth, and I saw another planet that looked just like our Earth, and it was a little bit higher altitude in the vision. And I must have been on a ship or out someplace, because I was looking at it from, you know, like I was looking at Earth from far away. And I saw this kind of implosion or transplanting from one planet to another, like if you were to take a rocket and transplant it onto another planet. And when I woke up in the morning, I also remembered many things about being on a mothership that night. Well, I said, I need more information. And so the following night, I had traveled on to my next destination, and that night I had a second vision, and this one where I was standing on the balconies of like an apartment complex, and I was, you know, people were kind of going into a frenzy of confusion like they are right now, and we all looked up and we saw this huge planet coming in to our faces. We could not see the sky. All we could see was this planet. And people were screaming at it and yelling at it and said, who are you and what do you want? And I thought it was fabulous. And I was seeing all this firmament of the heavens around it. And just, I knew that it was a heavenly thing. And I heard a voice say, Victoria, this is your new home. And then it started to move away from us, and the dolphins were swimming, and it was like it had come right up next to us and then moved away from us. And the third vision was looking out the window and seeing that the Earth had made the shift, like taking the Earth through a car wash, all the negativity had been washed away. Well, I feel that this change, the transformation of our bodies and our molecular structure, is all part of being prepared so that we can survive this shift of, you know, moving on to this second Earth that I believe is a holographic Earth that's been created. It's identical to our Earth, and they've preserved it so that we can basically transplant onto it. And or it can be a symbolic thing, but I really do feel that it's more than just a symbolic thing. And so I know in my heart that what I've seen, It's very real to me. I don't expect everybody to believe me, but it's interesting because a lot of folks have had visions and dreams about the second Earth. The Hopis have had prophecies about the second earth. And even in India culture and philosophy, the Shakti and the Shiva, they talk about the Mary. And that's once again connected to this merging. So, you know, what I say to individuals, and I help people long distance over the telephone for, you know, counseling sessions, intuitive or healing sessions, helping them sort of get rid of whatever's holding them back or help them to have more understanding, is that, first of all, we have to let go of the fear. We have to learn to love ourselves. Now, we were taught, well, love thy neighbor as thyself, but we haven't really learned how to love ourselves. We're very hard on ourselves, and we must learn to forgive. Oh, in my CD, Journey to Empowerment, it takes people on a journey inside the self to love and forgive not only others, but for them to forgive themselves and to claim all of those gifts and to magnify the fullness, because we are on a journey of remembering who we are. We were born, we chose to come into this dispensation of time to be here for this great shift that the earth is going to do something it's never ever done. And that is why we're going through so much right now. But it's not always easy, and people are feeling kind of discouraged about their finances, and not kind of, very discouraged and very traumatized. But the thing is, I feel the more we see happening with the world, with our economy, with our bodies, with our relationships, it just is an indication of how close we are to this great event unfolding. Don't you agree, Nancy?
I do. I mean, you know, everybody is really concerned about 2012. But the only reason why they're really concerned, in my opinion, about 2012 is because everybody puts out half of the information, and then they make the other half of the information sound kind of, you know, weird or strange or, you know, and they don't complete what the total information is. So people today, you know, they're worried about these changes coming and not totally understanding what the changes are all about. You know, and, you know, the Maya calendar ends at 2012. Well, it doesn't mean the world is going to end at 2012. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, for every ending, there's another beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a rebirth. It's a doorway. It's a transformational time. It's the end of the old ways, the old life, the way of looking at life. I believe that we are going to be moving into a different consciousness, where there's more of a oneness. Instead of us having separateness, well, I'm an American and you're an Italian, well, we're earthlings. And be able to realize that I know we have families out there on these other planets. I've met some of these people. I mean, they look like us. I mean, there's all kinds of races. There's over 108 races coming back and forth to this earth. And this earth has been a journey, and now it's time to graduate. So I consider 2012 a graduation to a higher way of living. And you can, I mean, if you're involved in your respective religion, I mean, you can look at it as the ascension or the rapture or whatever you want to do, but it's not about death. I mean, many people are choosing to leave their bodies right now because their bodies maybe are worn out and they can't seem to function, you know, and they want to be on the other side to usher in these great changes. But many people are not going to experience physical death. They're going to experience this transformation of their physical form. And I know this because my own body has gone through so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's things that I probably wouldn't say on the radio, but, I mean, there are amazing things that I know are proof of what the transformation my body has gone through. And I know a lot of people in my life are experiencing the same thing. It's not just me. And so if people want to give me, if they want to contact me, they can contact me at Victoria at Victoria's, and that's with an S as in Sam, LIGHT.com. They can write to me, and if they want to schedule a session, we can help them understand more. I have been going around the country to different cities and you know, reaching the people that way. It's not a fearful thing. It's a glorious thing. In the past, now this earth has gone through the great floods and it's had some tremendous things happen, but I believe that there's more light on this planet than we've ever had. Don't you agree?
Well, I do. You know, I've been doing some changes too, and it's really funny because, you know, when I moved down to New Mexico, it's only been 4 months ago, I used to love to drink Cherry Coke, Cherry Pepsi, all the colas. And all of a sudden, after being there, within just a 24-hour period, you know, I was there for like a couple months, and then, you know, I was back and forth to Chicago. So I went back after this time to, you know, go to Chicago and go back to New Mexico. It had been about 4 months, and the strangest thing happened to me because I used to drink this stuff, and one morning I woke up, and I, you know, I always drink water, but I went to go get some Cherry Pepsi or Cherry Coke. I don't remember which one it was. And I opened a brand new 2-liter bottle, and I tasted it, and it tasted like mildew. I went, oh, man, this must be a bad bottle. So I threw it away. I opened the second one, and I tasted it. It was like, oh, that was just as awful. So I discovered, now that I'm down in New Mexico, I no longer can drink Cherry Pop or colas of any kind because they have such a horrible, horrible taste. So it's like, wow, what is that? So, I drink water anyway, which me off guard that all of a sudden my body is transforming, and that would be one of the transformations because we all know it's not good for you, but, you know, the taste was great, but, oh, man, I can't drink it anymore. So I came up to Chicago where I'm at, like, this whole week. I thought, well, maybe it's just down there. You know, maybe they have some you know, different ingredients or something they put in there. I don't know. So I came up here, and of course, you know, I wanted to try it because I'm wondering what is going on. And I did. I did the same thing. I bought not a 2-liter bottle this time because I was afraid of wasting it all, but I bought a Cherry Coke. And I tasted that, and it was like, oh, my God, it's just as bad as what they have down in New Mexico. So I cannot drink it anymore at this time. So I know there's transformations going on, but it was just really, that's a big one, you know, because to have it go from being able to drink it, and then, you know, one morning you wake up and it's like, oh, my God, yuck, this is going to kill me, you know, was a big, big, you know, rude awakening from my mind.
I think they've actually changed some of the Cokes, too, because, well, I don't drink much Coke anymore, Pepsi, but I used to be a Pepsi-holic years ago, but I've kind of, you know, worked away from that for quite some time, but I tried to drink a Coke yesterday just because I felt like I wanted a little sugar rush. I was feeling kind of draggy, and it was just terrible. So I know exactly what you're saying, and I think that a lot of it is just, you know, our bodies are becoming so pure, it's poison, you know. There's a lot of bad stuff in there, but, you know, I mean, people in my family, they drink so much Diet Coke, and I just can't preach to them, you know. People have to just sort of figure it out, and maybe they'll wake up and maybe they won't, but I just feel that people need to put, you know, do more greens and shift mm-hmm. their body in a more of an alkaline state. And I do feel that there is a little bit of an agenda out there, too, to pollute some of the foods and things. Like, you know, even like the microwave popcorn,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't taste as good as it used to either.
No, a lot of things they're really not tasting good. And I don't even drink that. I never have because I couldn't take that to begin with. So this is just regular pop, and it's like, oh, yuck. You know, so I don't drink pop anymore at this point in my life, apparently. Victoria, let's give out your website again, your email address, how people can get a hold of you, the name of your movie, and then the link that people can go to watch a trailer of it.
Okay. My website is www.victoriaslight.com, and that's a Victoria with an S as in Sam, LIGHT.com, and my email is victoria@victoriaslight.com. When you go to the website on the home page, you can actually click right on, there's a little link right on the home page below a photograph of myself, and it'll say, you know, watch the YouTube videos. And on there is a link, or one of the videos is actually the movie trailer to my award-winning documentary film, Encounters with Angels, UFOs, and Divine Messages, which is available on DVD. And if you go on the website, on the left-hand side, just go to the link that says, you know, view the video trailer or purchase the video, and people can purchase my CDs and my video through PayPal. Or they can, there's a, at the bottom, it'll show, you know, where they can mail a check. And so, you know, that's how to get a hold of me. And if people want a session or questions, I mean, be patient because I get a lot of phone calls. I get a lot of email. I have 4,000 emails in my inbox right now. So... But I truly do try to get back to everybody, and it's important. And the other thing I want to say is that, you know, I've been in the healing arts for 30 years. I've been a body worker, and I am a clinical hypnotherapist, and I can actually do some hypnosis over the telephone as well. But I also, when I died and I went into the light, I discovered a gift, this light in my hands. It's far beyond what you would call Reiki. I do a lot of work on severely ill people, and it's not me. I just get out of the way and I let the universe work through me. But I do a lot of prayer work, and if you have individuals in your family, in your life, friends that have something going on, you can email their photographs, and I'll do some prayer work on their behalf. And that's, you know, I don't ask for any compensation on that. I'm happy to do that for people. And so, you know, whatever people need, just please don't hesitate to reach out, and I'll do whatever I can to help you. The documentary film is a great thing to have in your library because it's a good teaching tool to show your family. And it's not boring. It goes fast, doesn't it, Nancy?
Yeah, it's not boring. It's actually, it's really kind of cool because, you know, you get to see different ships. You slow it down, and they're sending messages. And like you said earlier, some of the messages, you actually see a face. And I mean a really face. In, you know, the different messages that they're sending out, you know, at the very end of your show, it's just so cool because you took all of the twinkles that were going on and you slowed it down so that you could actually see what was going on in those twinkles. And it was really very amazing, Victoria. It was really great. You know,
well, it's cool because you can see people dressed in white actually mm-hmm. dancing in formation. When you look at the... actually, they can see this on the trailer. When you see it slowed down at the end of the trailer, you'll see everywhere there's a little brown dot. Those are the tops of the heads. And if you use kind of your peripheral vision, you can actually see people dancing and moving in formation inside.
Yeah, it was really kind of neat. They got some really cute baby face pictures on those pictures, you know, that you've slowed down to, which I think is really neat. Victoria, what do you think the messages are that they're trying to send to us?
Just get ready. Get ready and step outside the box. Let go of the fear. Don't let yourself be influenced by the mind control. You know, take your power back. Stay positive. Our thoughts are our surfboard to travel through through this eye of the needle. I mean, we have to be focused on positive thought forms and loving each other and just create the kind of energy in your home, your own heaven on earth, because heaven on earth is within us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we learn to navigate in that energy, then we take our light out and we touch others and we teach by our beingness. You know, sometimes it's not about preaching to people, but it's about living, walking your talk and staying in that place of love and just helping people feel your light. And they say, hey, I want to have what she's having, you know?
Mm-hmm. So spread it around. The other thing, Victoria, you do predictions about earthquakes. So explain how you found out that what goes on with your body correlates with an earthquake to our listeners.
Well, you know, I think I've been doing this since second grade, but I didn't know that it was connected to the earthquakes. But back in 94, I realized that when I would get real dizzy and real nauseated, then I started, you know, going to the computer or, you know, turning on the TV, and we had had a quake. And so I would just kind of jot down little notes and keep track of this. And now I pretty much feel everything that's going on the planet. I'm a water sign. I have 5 planets in water, so I'm extremely sensitive. So I say to people, if you're feeling real dizzy and you get these waves of nausea and dizziness, it's not always vertigo. I've got a client coming here in a little bit, and she said, well, you know, my vertigo's come back. And I thought, uh-huh. Well, we just had a solar eclipse, and we've had all these earthquakes. And I feel that, you know, it's very possible that she's just picking up on the earth. And so that's what I get. Sometimes you'll get some energy headaches, too, but... you can pretty much go to the earthquake map on USGA, and when you start feeling things, go. And if you look at where, like, you know, the ley lines, the latitude and the longitude lines that they have on a world globe, if you follow a line all the way around the globe, you can see that, let's say, that there's something in Iraq, an earthquake in Iraq, then you could follow that ley line, it would go right over L.A., or Japan would go right over Salt Lake City. And you can kind of see the correlation. All of the volcanoes are speaking to one another also. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of an interesting pattern we're seeing.
It's going to be more interesting as time goes on, I really think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just... you know, just I would say position yourself too. Like if you're feeling the need to relocate, go ahead and try to get positioned in a place that you feel supports your spirit to, you know, be able to go through some of these. Because, you know, there are going to be some changes, but, you know, I'm not a fear-based person. It's, you know, mm-hmm. I just don't, that's just not where my brain works. So,
nope.
But just listen to your angels and guides, and your spirit will tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, Victoria, we're almost out of time. It went by really quick. So could you, one more time, give out your website, your email address, and, of course, the name of your movie?
Okay, it's victoriaslight.com. Victoria@victoriaslight.com is the email. And the movie is Encounters with Angels, UFOs, and Divine Messages. And there's also healing CDs of Journey to Empowerment and the Sacred Tones that people can use for their healing process.
And I want to say, everyone who's listening, these are all great. I have all of them. And it's an experience, truly, truly an experience, that I really think each and every one of you who are listening would really, really enjoy. So, you know, check it out. It's pretty cool. The other thing I want to mention just before we go off air, Victoria, is at the very end of your movie, your DVD, you're singing, and there's all these pigeons that kind of come around you, and they get into this big circle around you. That is so neat and so pretty, and your voice is, you know, bringing them to you. It was just great the way you did it.
Yeah, people think it's trick photography, but it's really the real thing. So, yeah, the animals, they know. They feel the vibration. So I send my love, and thank you, Nancy, for taking the time to have me on, and thank you to all your listeners for holding the light. We're all playing our instruments in this grand orchestra.
How is your throat for about a minute and a half of singing?
Oh, let's see. A new world of peace, of joy and love, to walk with you and God above, to be as one in unity for eternity. I see eternity for you and me. How's that?
That was beautiful. That's great. That's part of her music, folks. Really, check it all out. One more time, your website, your email address, and the name of your movie, please, Victoria.
www.victoriaslight.com. Email victoria@victoriaslight.com. And the movie is Encounters with Angels, UFOs, and Divine Messages.
And don't miss any of them. And, Victoria, you're very welcome. I enjoy talking with you. And when I get back to New Mexico, I'm going to come see you. We're going to get together. We're going to do a lot of good things together.
I'm going to take you out to see the ships.
I would love it. Let me tell you, I would
All
love
right.
it. So thank you very much for taking the time, Victoria.
Okay. God bless you all.
I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you, as Victoria said. Take care, and we'll talk next week. Bye now.
Bye now.